Let's sing that again. Oh, to be like Jesus, to be like Jesus, on earth alone, to be like Him, all through life's journey, earth to glory.
You know, that was the original plan for us to be like Jesus, eternal life, living through sons and daughters, a happy family, eternal. And that's what we're getting back to, brother and sister. That was in the mind of God. That's what He's restoring us to. Tonight we want to speak again about restoration of the bride. So let's just pray and quieten ourselves, and then let's have God come and speak to us. Lord Jesus, You gathered us here tonight. Father, You want to speak to Your bride again, Lord. You want to give her Your word. Lord, we've been listening to Satan preach to us all week. But Father, His word cannot do what Yours can. His word can only defile. It can only bring us down. But Lord, You can lift us up. You can cause us to live. You can create life in us, Lord. I ask tonight that You would come and do that. Just, Lord, let Your word create life. Let it bring us closer to You. Let it have the effect that You want it to, Lord. Satan's going to try and get our minds thinking we're tired, just thinking this, or get us thinking about something else, Lord. Just keep us focused, Lord. Keep us right here with You, Lord. I ask this in Your name. Amen. If you want to read, we're just going to read one verse there in Joel 2 again. And I'm just going to read part of this verse, so you don't even have to listen to it. I'm just reading it to you. It says this: I will restore to you. It's all I'm going to read. You may have a seat. I will restore to you. Of course, it talks about all the years at the locust and everything, but I want to focus on that. What is it? Brother and sister, it is a promise. God's word is, I will restore. And Brother Branham came and showed us that. He is talking about this age, this bride, at the very end, He will restore to us all that we have lost. All right? And so we know that God's word is His law, and you can bank on it. You know it's going to happen. God's going to bring it to pass. He is going to find somebody who is going to believe it. And He's going to use those people to manifest this through, right? So what we want to look about tonight, Brother Branham, he's talking about this. He said, to restore means to bring back or to restore a claim can be enforced. Oh my, I was studying this last night. I was getting excited. A claim can be enforced. It can be forced, brother and sister. Why? The law will force it. If someone comes and steals something from you and you get the law involved and they find that, you can force that thing to come back to you. The law will force them to give it back, right? Now, to bring anything back to its rightful owner where it belongs. So remember, we're talking about restoring back everything that those worms had eaten away off the bride tree, and it's going to restore back because it's where it belongs. Brother and sister, recognize where this belongs. Recognize where you belong. Therefore, some way it went away from its rightful owner can wander around anywhere, but to restore is to bring it back to who really owns it. Bring it back to its natural estate. Let's stop a minute. He said, to who really owns it. What are we talking about? We're talking about eternal life. Who really owns eternal life? The bride of Christ, born again, owns eternal life. He's restoring all those things that are part of life. Not just life itself, but all the attributes that go with it. We're going to talk about those Sunday morning. Lord willing. It said, bring it back to its natural estate, where it was at the first time. Bring it back to its natural condition. Where was it? Where was it at the first time? Where was life? Life was God. God is life. That's where it was when he had a family in his mind. He had thoughts. He had attributes. I want to express this. That's where you come in. He was wanting to express all these attributes to his bride. Right here at the end. Bring it all the way to pass right here at the very end. Back to its natural condition. In order to do this, we have a right to enforce, if there's a law, to enforce this rightful condition of restoration to restore. Brother and sister, we have a right to enforce this. We can force Satan to give this back. Think about it. That's your right as a Christian, as a member of the Bride of Christ. It's our inheritance. It belongs to us. When Israel came out there, they came to the Red Sea, or the Jordan. They said, cross over. This land is all yours. He brought them out of Egypt to take them down and give them the land. He said, I'm going to give it to you. But you must fight for it. Every step you step on is possession, but you must fight. You must drive the enemy back. You had to force them. You had to force them back. This is your inheritance. The restoration of this is yours. It's your inheritance, but you got to fight for it. How are you going to fight for it? Not in your own ability. You take God on the scene and he does it for you. You just pull the sword and he goes to hacking. You go to hacking, he goes to cutting, I should say. It's a law. There's a law there. A kinsman redeemer. There's a law there. He came and restored. He redeemed everything back. And everything has to follow God's law. But all he's looking for is somebody to work through. That's all it is. People don't want to work. They don't want God to work through them because he doesn't do it the way they want. How many people have you seen start out in the message and they're a message believer and they're excited and they're going on, and a year later or 6 months later, 2 weeks later, or 10 years later, finally they just kind of fade away, they drift off. What happened? God wasn't doing it the way they wanted him to. He wasn't restoring it the way they wanted to, and they were not willing to keep fighting. Oh, but you were born for this, brother and sister. This is why you're here. What is there to be afraid of? There's nothing to fear. Either the rapture is for you or it's not. If you're the part of the bride, the rapture is for you. Find out, am I part of the bride? Yes, I am. Then the rapture is for me. What are you afraid of? You're going to miss it? You're afraid that, I might not get there in time. I might not be ready for the rapture when it goes. If you're born again, you can't help it. Yes, it is. This is what you're born for, brother and sister. I read something this week, and it really struck me. You know Joan of Arc. You've heard her. You know, she was this lady back a long, long time ago. And you know, she led the French against them. I don't remember what the history is. Anyways, she said this. She said, I'm not afraid. I was born to do this. Recognize it. You were born to do this. You were born to get a body change. You were born to overcome Satan. You were born to be restored. You were born to have. This is why God brought you on earth. This is why you had a natural birth, because God knew that there was something inside of you that was going to believe, and he was going to be able to manifest his works through you. That's what you're born for. And Satan tries to get you to stop through fear. He said, well, that's not going to happen. Well, you can't do this. Well, this is going to happen. Well, whatever is going to happen, you are born. Do not be afraid. There's nothing to fear. Nothing. Nothing. And the trials and the temptations and the things we go through, God is taking that and showing you, haven't I got you? Haven't I not taken care of you up to this point? Then stop being afraid that I'm not going to take you the rest of the way. That's all this battle is. You are born to force Satan to give back your rights. You are born to stand there and face to face with Satan and say, this is mine, give it back, and he must give it back. You don't think so? Listen to what Brother Branham said. He said, enforce. We have the privilege to enforce upon Satan the claims that God give us. What claims did God give us? The promises, What do you need?
I need peace of mind. Well, okay.
I need some financial help. It's yours. I need health, physical health. Okay. By his stripes that you are healed. Every one of these is a promise to you, and you have the privilege to stand in Satan's face and say, give it back.
Yes.
Give it back.
Amen.
You've taken my health, give it back.
Amen.
You've taken my family, give it back.
Amen.
You've taken all this, give it back, it's mine.
That's it.
Do you have the faith to stand there and say, I was born to do this? You have the privilege to enforce upon Satan the claims that God gave us. For God has a law. His word is the law. Just find the law. You have a problem out here, you call the law. Hey, Mr. Policeman, I got some neighbors down here who are playing their music so loud I can't sleep. I have a right to have peace and quiet at night.
Well, he said, yes, you do. I'll come down and shut it down. Thank you.
Next morning, your neighbors are scowling at you, but you got a good night's sleep. All right, are you afraid that Satan's going to be scowling at you? Because go ahead and get used to it, because he hates you. Stand there anyway and say, I'm calling the law on you, Satan. You're taking away my peace of mind. I need some rest. It's yours. God in his word makes certain claims to the church. Therefore, we have a right to force those claims upon Satan and say, give it back. You have a right. You can go to Satan, you can go to this thing, whatever's afflicting you, whatever has you bound, whatever has you addicted, whatever has you weak, you can go and stand there face to face with that demon and say, get out of here. I have a right to peace of mind. I have a right to be free. I've been set free.
Amen.
You can't bind me with your stuff. You can't make me do this anymore. I don't have to follow this. I don't have to defile myself. I don't have to react this way. I can do what I want to do. I have a right to do it. My, what's keeping us back from it, folks? It's nothing but fear. We're afraid maybe it won't work. Well, if I do that and it doesn't work, if it doesn't work, there's two things wrong. Either you didn't believe it or God lied. That's all there is to it. There's only two options. Now you gotta be led by the Holy Spirit. You can't just go out and say, well, I think I want $1 million. Okay, I believe it's mine. No, that's what I'm talking about. You be led by the Holy Spirit and you stand on that, and whatever he tells you, you go ahead and stand on that and you just watch it happen. He has to do it. Satan, he has to give it back. He has to do it because we can take God's agent. What's God's agent? The Holy Spirit. Go right down on our knees and say, it's thus saith the Lord. He's got to give it up. That's all, because the Holy Spirit's there to make him do it. Oh, yeah. You go and you start talking big to the devil. Guess what he's going to do? Ooh, you think you scare me? Say, Lord? Oh, okay. Watch him back down. Just call the Holy Spirit on the scene and say, God, you told me I could have this.
Yes,
Satan's there keeping it from me. He comes down as like a big brother. He says, Satan, all right. I'm out of here. It don't work that way. Oh, yes, it does too. You call him on the scene and you watch what happens. Let me just give you an example. How many times do you come in here, you're kind of down, you're having a rough day, you have a bad attitude about something, and by the end of this service, you're just feeling on top of the clouds. How come? Because the Holy Spirit came and drove all that oppression away, and you realize, you know what? I really do have a lot to live for. I really do have a right to be happy. I really do have something to be joyful. I can worship the Lord. Why? Because I recognize in who I am. I was born to do this. Praise the Lord. The law of the Spirit of God is to force Satan to give up that which he has unrightfully, deceitfully taken from God. What is he taking from God? Unlawfully, unrightfully, deceitfully. He said, souls of men he took from God. Souls of women, children. Sickness of the body.
He placed upon people where God made them in his image to be like him. You were made in God's image to be like him. You are not made to be sick. You are not made to die. You are not made for this. But we've been born into it. We've been sold into sin by Adam and Eve. And because of that, now we have to be living in these bodies. But brother and sister, that's not what you were made for originally. And God had given us his promises that even while we're in this body, you can still be an overcomer. Amen. You can still be healed. You can still be free in this body. What a spit in Satan's eye. Because here you are. We suffer in our bodies when we're sick and with pain and things hurting things. When you get older, they all quit working and everything falls apart anyway. Brother and sister, don't worry about that. That's just something I tell you. There's something better than that. Because you're longing for something. There's got to be something better or there's nothing to long for. You couldn't have a longing for it. It's true? Think about it. If you have a desire for something, it's got to be there or you couldn't have a desire for it. If there's never any water created, there's no way you could ever be thirsty. Because your body wouldn't need water. But there is a desire. Water is there. Your body needs water, so there's water to satisfy that. Brother and sister, there's something you're longing for.
Amen.
If there's something you're longing for, it can't be a longing unless there's something there to satisfy it. Oh, what do you want tonight? What do you really want tonight? What if God would walk up to you and say, Brother Gene, what can I give you tonight? Whatever it is, there's a longing, there's a desire. You can have it if you can believe it. Now, there's a lot of that, too. It's got to be God's will. Now, you can ask for stuff. People ask for stuff all the time that ain't God's will. He says, well, okay, I'll give it to you. But you're going to be sorry. Let's walk in God's perfect will.
Amen.
Sometimes the things that I thought I wanted more than anything else, you get them. Well, you find out later, God said no. And I said, well, why not? And then you'll find out later, oh, thank you. Thank you so much for not giving me what I thought I wanted. The church is given the rightful legal rights by the Bible to take the Holy Spirit and enforce this upon him. Yeah, the legal right. Then let's do this, folks. He said the original, back to the original, the natural condition you was in. What is your natural condition? Life. You weren't born to die. Sin causes us, we have to die, but you're not born for that. What you were here for, what your original intent was to live eternally. A happy family with God. That's what it is. So let's focus on that. When we're going through our life, focus on the unseen. Look at where we're headed for instead of what's going on around us. Look what the promises are. Let's focus on the real. Let's focus on the original. What God thought when what he was thinking when he made you. I think it was Brother Samuel Browning. He preached something. I think it was here several years ago. He said something that still stuck with me. He said, here God, he's looking at the word. He's looking at the blueprint, the plan, and he's over here molding you. Oh, that's good. Why? Because he's not sitting there looking at this and saying, goodness, Phil, you got a lot of problems. No, he's looking at what he's making me into to make sure he gets it right. So, brother and sister, let's take the mind of God and do the same thing. Take the mind of Christ and say, this is what you made me for. This is the purpose. There's the blueprint. This is what I'm coming to instead of looking at all my issues and my problems right here. Look to the unseen. Brother and sister, if we don't learn to do that, we're never going to get there. We have a tendency, well, when God heals me, I'll confess he healed me. That's like saying, well, when I get the new birth, I know that when I get the body change, I'll believe in the body change. Well, when I get the new birth, I'll believe it was for me. Brother, sister, this is not walking in faith. This is not pleasing when you have that attitude. Brothers, you got to say, God promised it to me. I'm going to focus on that promise until I see it happen.
Yes.
That's the way you do it.
Yes.
Let me just say something. Let's stop here. I run a lot. And I've had trouble with my hips for years. And I was sitting there, and God said, and God told me, hey, I gave you running for pastime to enjoy. Run. But I keep hurting. And one time I was sitting there in the pew, and Brother Jewel was preaching. I told you this before. And I was praying about this. My hips are still bothering me. He said, what do you need? I said, I need a miracle. That's what it takes, a miracle. He said, well, go ask for it. Because my hips won't be healed without a miracle. And I don't need it when I get a body change. I need it now. And so I got up and I came up and I told Brother Gerald, I need a miracle. He prayed for it. Brother, sister, I ain't going to get a miracle. My hips are going to be healed. I don't know how it's going to happen, but one day I'm going to stand here and testify that God has fixed my hips. And I'm going to start running around here like you never saw me run. Why? Because God put it on my heart. I didn't come up here, well, I really want to be able to run. No, God put it on my heart to do it. Then I don't have any fear standing up here. Well, what if it doesn't happen, Phil? You'd be wrong. Okay, well, I was wrong then. I'm still going to heaven. What are you afraid of? There's nothing to fear. Well, what if you were wrong? Okay, then God will show me I was wrong. Hey, I'll fix it and I'll repent and I'll go on. Quit being afraid. Quit being afraid to confess something. You're not wrong. Not if you're being led by the Holy Spirit. My. Look to the finished product. Look what God's doing. If you don't, if you confess only what you're seeing, brother, sister, it's going to be too late one day. You say, well, I believe I'll get the, once I get the Holy Spirit, once I'm born again, I know that, then I'm a child of God. It ain't going to work that way. You believe it now, and you walk into it. Let's see what God says about that. Not right now, but in a second. He said, if Satan has robbed you of the privilege of being a son or daughter of God, he's robbed you of the privilege of being a son or daughter of God. We have a right this morning by the Holy Spirit to enforce the claim of God. Bring them back. You have a right. Robbed you of the privilege of being a child of God. You have a right to get it back. If he's afflicted you and made you sick, we have a right before God to enforce the laws of God. By his stripes, we are healed.
Amen.
Period. There's your condition. He said it. He endured it. You can either take him at his word or not take him at his word. What happens when you just stand that word and he comes, he just anchors that down, not just in your mind, but down in your soul. You watch you get healed. You watch what happens. Bring him back. Turn him loose. You're taking him out of yonder to death. Reclaim him back. Bring him back. Claim. This is how you claim your loved ones. You claim your family. It's not because, well, I claim it. It's done. No, you stand there in faith and you say, Satan, bring my child back. You get that revelation from God and see what stands in your way. He said, that's the enforcement. Restore it back to its natural condition again. A man sick, a baby sick, a woman sick, they're out of their natural condition. You're not made to be sick. Your body wasn't made to be sick. Yeah, it falls apart when we get old, and sometimes it falls apart when you're young. But brother and sister, we have a right to force that. Say, give it back. Give me my health.
Yes.
You know why we don't? Fear.
That's the truth.
That's all. Well, what if I get up like you just did and say you're going to have a miracle? Okay. Well, did God tell you that? Well, no, then don't say it. But what did God say to you? What did he reveal to you? What has he talked to you? What have you been talking about, you and God, in your communication, your communion? What have you been talking about? Oh, my. Hopefully something.
Well, I haven't been really talking to him lately, Brother Phil. Well, there's the problem. There's the problem. You don't have time for him. You don't have time for God? I was thinking about that today at work. I am so busy. I was talking to a friend of mine at work. I said, I am so busy. I said, I don't know how people who are married and with kids have time to get anything accomplished. Because I am so busy. All I do is take care of myself and I don't get hardly anything done. It just work. I work and then I go home and it's good. One thing after another. It's like, settle down, calm down. Well, what are you supposed to do? I got to do this stuff. Well, you could get some rid of this. I like doing these things. I don't want to get rid of these things. I love to read. Reading takes time. Got to clean the house instead. It's like, man. Next thing you know, it's like time for Ben to say, how much time did you spend in prayer tonight? Did you talk to God tonight? Did you have a conversation? Well, I thanked him for my dinner. Really? That was it? You ever feel ashamed of yourself? Look, this ain't some, well, I got to do this a certain amount of time. I'm not talking about having some religious schedule. I'm talking about how many times when washing the dishes, you look out the window and you see the most beautiful sun. Did you see the sunset last night? I don't know if it was like that at your house. This cloud just streaked across it, just yellow and golden. I thought, oh my goodness. What is it? He said, hey, I'm trying to get your attention here. Remember me? Talk to me. Talk to me. Tell me what's going on. You know that Brother Branham said that? I think he said, he was talking to Sister Meade. He said, come in, sit down, talk to me. What's going on? She said, oh, I'm so busy. Isn't that what we do sometime? We're so busy doing all the fun stuff we get to do. And not so fun. He said, that's the enforcement. Restore it back to its natural condition. A man sick, a baby sick, that's out of their natural condition. We have a right to enforce a claim. Not our claim. It's our claim because God give it to us. Oh, that's a key thing. Don't go out and just claim it because you want it. That's not what he's talking about. Well, I want this. I want that. That isn't it. It's our claim because he claimed it for us. He paid for it for us. He said, now I bought this. Now go get it. By his stripes we were healed. He was wounded for our transgressions. With his stripes we were healed. He was wounded for our transgressions. Don't you dare sit there and let Satan beat you down because of your weaknesses. Yes. Don't do it, folks. Well, Brother Phil, I'm just having a hard time. I keep falling to this sin and I keep struggling with this sin over here and all these things going on. Don't stop it. But it says he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. He died for that sin, that blood could come and wash you and make you clean. Focus on that. Let me tell you something. When he's molding you, he doesn't look at this old body. He's looking at this through the blood. He's looking at you through the blood, and you know what he sees? He sees a sinless, spotless child of God. Think about it. It's so hard to believe that because we know yesterday I made that mistake, today I made the mistake, and tomorrow I'll probably make it again. He said, how can he keep forgiving me? How can he keep forgiving me? Oh, brother and sister, that's a great question. Why? That's the depth of his love. Try to get away from it. Run from it sometimes. See what happens. Try to leave God. Try to get away from it. Try to go to a hell so deep he can't find you down there. You can't do it. You can't because he's already chosen you. He says, I know you're trying to get away. You're afraid what's going to happen. You think I'm not good for you, but I am. You think you want your own way, but you don't. Oh my, this makes me happy. Why, I've experienced it and so have you. Think about where you've been. Think of the dark roads, the dark nights you've gone through. Yes. And where are you at now? Well, Phil, I'm still in a dark road. Well, praise God. And all you can do is go up. It's pitch black. Well, then there's all you can do is get more light. Quit feeling sorry for yourself. Let's go. Oh my. He said, now listen, this is where it gets good. He said, we have a right to enforce the law. And the lawgiver, the Holy Spirit himself, is here, the agent of God, to see it's done that way. So he gives you his word, he anchors it, you believe it, you take it, and you go stand against the devil, and he is here to make sure it happens that way. But now listen to this. Now the only way he can work is when you let him work. How do you do that, Brother Phil? Oh, it's very complicated. So listen carefully. He can only work as when you let him work. You've got to believe it. All that I've said tonight, you can go to Satan. You can claim it back. You can force him to give it back. How do you do it? You believe what God told you. That's how you do it. Now, I can tell you 10 years ago, I'd have heard that. And I said, yeah, I believe it. Now, I'm going to go out and do it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to prove this. Satan, you better watch out. Here I come. Satan said, come on over, boy. Because he knew I wasn't walking in faith. I was walking in my own ability. And then as soon as he knocked me down again, I lose my confidence. I get discouraged. I sit there with the long faith. Jared Bell used to tell me, he said, you come to church, you look like you just ate a can of worms. I said, yeah, I believe that. Because I knew how I'd come to church so beat down, so did I, just up and down. Why? Because I couldn't live good enough. My, you talk about freedom. All he wanted me to do is believe what he said. Amen. To believe what he'd done for me. That's how you force it. The law is a law of faith. I'm going to get, I can't stand it. The law is faith. If you have believed God by faith, the law will force him to give it back. It will force him to give you your rights. That's how you do it. It's not how often you go to church or how much tithe you pay or how good you're living or how many times you haven't made a mistake this week. None of that is it. It's you believe what God says and you let him do the work. Keep your hands off of it. That is the hardest thing for a human being to do. It's one of the hardest things. We'll stop on that. That is one of the hardest things for a human being to do, is to let God save you. Let God set you free. Let God do this work all the way from Adam when he knew he was in sin. What did he do? He tried to do something to make him holy. And God has all the way down through time said, would you stop it? Stop helping me make you holy. Brother and sister, I can tell you by personal experience, I stand amazed sometimes watching what God is doing, changing me, taking away the things I lusted for, that I was addicted to, that I just longed for, and he has taken away, and I sit there and I think, where have they gone? I have so changed my desires, and so made a difference. I stand there and I walk around sometimes, and I think, God, what are you doing to me? I don't even recognize myself anymore. And that's a good thing. You know what I'm talking about? Are you experiencing this? Because if not, it's time you did. If not, you need to start believing what God is saying. And you go up to that devil and say, give it back to me. Amen. There's a law. A law of faith that if you will believe it, God will work on that faith. And he'll give you the desire of your heart. Yes, he will. Oh, my. He said, we have a law, the law of life in us. Brother, sister, when you've been born again, that life is in you. You can't lose. You made and born and placed here in the body of Christ as sons and daughters of God. You are made and born and placed here in the body of Christ as children of God. Did you hear what he said? You're in the body of Christ. Then he says, you don't have to knock down to the devil. You don't have to knock down to the devil. He comes and brings a temptation. And you say, God,
In my strength, it's impossible for me to overcome that. I've tried so many times. But you set me free. And then keep your hands off. Well, I did that and I fell to it again. Okay, well, next time it comes along, do the same thing. I did it and I fell to it again. Okay, next time it comes around, you just keep believing. Because you know what God's doing? He's going to see, are you going to keep believing? Or are you going to go and try again on your own accord?
Right.
He's done that with me several times, folks. I sit there and I don't want to do this, or I have this attitude, or I'm thinking this or whatever. And he said, well, are you going to take your hands like you have for the last 40 years of your life? You know what I finally learned? No, sir. If you don't help me, I'm going to fall to that sin. But you said I could be free. Yeah, Brother Phil, now, I don't know about that. I don't see it. Well, just go ahead and live it once, and then you can tell me what you know. And maybe he won't deal with you like that. He did with me because he knew how steeply starched I was in that legalistic spirit. You just go ahead and get your own testimony. I'll give you mine. You don't have to knuck down to the devil. We've got a law. That's the law of the Holy Spirit. The only thing you have to do is know how to let go and let God. There is the trick. How to let go and let God. How to put it completely in God's hand and say, either you save me or I'm lost. Either you set me free or I'm bound. Either you heal me or I'll die. Now you can do that and stop right there and you're going to be lost, you're going to be bound, you're going to die. But when you get to there and say, you either heal me or I'm lost, but you promised me. Either you save me or I'm lost, but you died for me. Either you set me free or I'm bound by that spirit, but you were bruised for my iniquities. By your stripes I'm healed. You're wounded for my transgression. You did this for me. And when I was sitting there in church the other day, you spoke to me and said it was for me. And I know that was your voice. And I'm going to stand on that, the little revelation, that little voice, that one tiny seed, until I see it happen. I tell you, brother and sister, you do this and you will find yourself getting ready for a body change. The key is to know how to let go and let God. You keep fighting at it and it won't ever work. When you let go and let God, that's all. How can he make it simpler? How can he make it any more simple? Let go and let God. You keep fighting. You keep trying. Well, what about this? What about that? I got a problem with Brother Todd. We're gonna be not bumping heads. Making it up. It's not real. Okay. We got an attitude or something, right? And so we're not getting along. Well, I'm going to try and fix it. Now, Brother Todd, don't. Just... Hey, I forgive you, whatever, and let go and let God fix it. But I got to let go. See, as long as I hold on that attitude toward Brother Todd, we're all going to have a problem. But God, you got to take this. I don't want to have a bad attitude toward Brother Todd. So I want to be free from this. God, you said I could be free. Next thing you know, we're back to being best friends again. It works that way. If you let it go and let God handle it, if not trying to fight it on your own. My, when you let go and let God, that's all. That's all. He gives you a promise. His word, it's his law. He said, if you do this, you're born again. I'm restoring. He said, I will restore. All these things, that the million promises. All the things he's talked to you over there, all the times you've been in church and he spoke to you, all the time when you're praying, he spoke to you, driving down the road, he speaks to you over and over and over. All these things, if you would just believe what he's telling you. But you got to do what he asks you to do. There is something that you have to do. First of all, you believe, and then when he tells you to do something, make sure you do that. I remember a long time ago, I was trying to live holy. I was trying to be born again. And I had all this stuff. I had accumulated books and all this stuff when I was in the Marines, when I was in college, all these kind of things. And I really liked some of that kind of neat stuff. And I thought, you know what? Maybe it's an idol to me. So I went out and I built a big bonfire and just burned tons of stuff. I wish I had them back. That didn't make me any holier. It didn't make me any closer to God. That was my own attempt to try to impress God with how sincere I was. I was sincere. I wish I had it back. I sincerely do. Because it wasn't God's will at all. I was trying to do something on my own. But now he comes to me and says, Phil, you got pornography magazines under your mattress. You need to get rid of them. You know what? I say, well, if you want them gone, you need to burn them out of there. He'll burn my house down if I take that attitude. There's some things that you don't... It's kind of common sense. But he says, Brother Phil, you got a problem with Todd, and you need to go and get it right. You need to go repent and apologize for your bad attitude towards him. Then I need to go and do that. That makes sense? I don't have a bad attitude, brother. I'm picking on you tonight. Okay, we're good. Just be led by the Spirit. Don't do something on your own. Don't try and fix it on your own. We have here in the church, you have people. Brother Nate, he's got office. His job is come up here and lead the songs. You know what he does? He sits there and he waits till God puts songs on his heart like God wants us to sing. When he's back there, like now, he's listening to what's being preached, and God's putting, giving him, sing this song, and the songs that come out. Why? Because that's the office that God put him in, and he's being led by it. The gift, the same with it. If your job is to fix the church, whatever it is, God puts on your heart what to do, you go do it. But if you try to do it on your own, it's not going to work. It's just a surrendered walk with Christ. That's all he's asking us to do. Watch him change you. I promise you, watch the way he changes you so you don't even hardly recognize you anymore. Compare yourself to how you were 5 years ago. Look how different you are. Maybe you're not. I know I am. I look back 5 years ago and say, man, Phil, look what you were doing. And I hope, you know, in 5 years, if we're still here, I'm going to look back at 2017 and say, man, Phil, look what you were doing. Why? Because it's a constant growing. We're constantly getting closer and closer to Christ. Brother, sister, I hope you see this in your life. If not, do something about it. What should I do, Brother Phil? You want me to pray more? You want me to start going to church 12 times a week? No. Just settle down. Just let go. And like God. He said, if the fish said, wait, I'll catch my breath real good. I'll breathe up a little oxygen in me. I'll see if I can go down. No, if he does that, he will burst open. The birds say, I'll see how fast I can run down here and maybe I'll take off. No, he won't do it. He'll fall down. He's got to know how to control how that law can control him. Brother and sister, you say, well, if I live real good, I'm going in the rapture. No, you're not. If you can show me where in the Bible it says, if you live good enough, you go in the rapture, that I'll change what I'm preaching. God's not keeping score on that. He says, are you born again? And if you're born again, then you have the earnest of your redemption. That's it's in there. It's sealed away. It's sealed in there. You are going in the rapture. That's the key. You got to get there. If you're not, if you don't know for sure, let go and let God save you. Just take him at his word. Listen to this. He said, the same way it is with us. It isn't what we fight and pull and hurry. Well, we got to hurry, Brother Phil. You said Sunday that door's really closing. We got to hurry. I got to hurry. Yeah. Yeah. You don't have much time. We don't have much time, brother and sister. But here's the thing. If you are one of God's, that door is a million miles wide. Amen. You're getting in. Yes. Don't fear. Goodness sakes, don't fear. If God puts a desperation on your heart, which is good, then you get desperate before God and you sit there and you wait and you claim that promise until he makes sure you know that you're in that door and that door is closed and you're sealed in there. But don't go out and try to do it on your own. Oh God, oh, Phil, I'm just so worried. I'm so tore up. That's not it. That's not faith. Satan can't keep you out. It's not if you fight and pull and hurry. Oh, if I don't do this, if I don't get that. That's not it. This is what the prophet's saying. It's not, oh, if I don't hurry and get born again, I'm not going to make it.
Well, technically, that's true.
Spiritually speaking, you can't miss it. Everyone is going to be in before the door is closed. Everyone that's coming in is going to be in it. And so if God has put on your heart that you're His and He's going to save you, He's going to fill you the Holy Ghost, then just relax and claim Him at His word and let that desperation of the Holy Spirit, that longing for God, just get you to a place where, God, I've got to have you. Let Him do that work. Don't work it up in your emotions. Let me tell you something tonight. I'm not trying to get you all stirred up. I'm not trying to be like a cheerleader up here. Rah, rah. Let's get emotional. Let's go. We can do it. Baloney. That ain't what this is about. This is about the Word speaking to you and anchoring it, and you recognize it, and that stirs a faith in you. You say, yes, it is true. Let the revelation stir your emotions. Just because you get all excited. And Brother Phil, I sure feel encouraged tonight. Wonderful. And tomorrow you're just as discouraged as you were before. That's all emotions can do for you. I ain't preaching to your emotion. I'm preaching to your heart. Will you believe what He's saying? He said, you have a right to this. You can. The original is you with life. That's what you go back to. Let's get back to that. He said, oh, if I don't get it, if I don't do this, I don't get that. That's not it. It's not. It's to know that the law of life is in you. It's to know that you have been born again. There's your rest. And you just let go and let God. Then He takes you to your healing. He takes you to the baptism of the Spirit or anything He's promised. Think about it. It's not you got to run to the altar, pound God, I got to have it. He takes you here when it's time. He does it. He takes you to the new birth. He takes you. All you do is let go. Say, God, I trust in you. I'm going about my life. I'm not going to make myself religious. I'm not going to make myself special or weird or odd or whatever to be a believer. I'm just going to believe. I'm going to go about my business. Everything else is just ridiculous. It's just ridiculous. It's man-made religion. It's keeping you out. So let go and let God and watch Him take you to the birth. Watch Him take you to your healing. Watch Him bring the word that you need to set you free. Any claim that He's given is yours by letting go and letting God. Any claim that He gave is yours by letting go and letting God. He goes on to talk about how someone does something wrong, he stole your property. A police officer comes to take him away. I'm going to arrest this guy. He stole your property. And you have, well, I don't know. I don't know whether he should do that. I don't know if I really want him arrested or not. See, that's the problem we have. Satan is coming and he's, I got a minute. Satan is coming and he has stolen our rights. And the Holy Spirit is saying, now I can give him back. I can force him back. And we're like, well, yeah, I want them, but maybe not right now. We're not sure we really want to be free because we're still enjoying this bit of sin just a little too much. You ever been guilty of that? If you're human, you are. You have been. I'm not really sure I want to be free of this temper right now. I'm kind of enjoying this greed. I like my long tongue. I kind of enjoy lusting. Not sure I really want to be free right now. Whew. He said, okay, when you're ready, call me back. I'm not sure I really want to be free enough to listen to this kind of preaching. I think I'll go find another church. You'll be back, hopefully. Some left and they didn't come back, folks. When you're ready, it's there for you. But we're afraid, if I get born again, what will I do? How will I act? What's it going to be like? What will I have to give up? If I really want to be free, I mean, what's it going to be like to really be free from this? What if I have to act like an idiot at work? What if all my friends just leave me? What if my family kicks me out? What if Brother Jerry just chews me up all the time? He does anyways. But what is going on? What, you know, all these things, Satan's got all these what ifs, what ifs, what ifs. What if it's really not for you? What if I believe and it really wasn't for me? Then God lied to you. Because if you really believed, it's for you. Because only the believers can really believe it's for them. Let me finish here. He said, wintertime comes and it kills and the sun restores. Returning to the sun, what does it do? It forces death. When the sun, the spring sun, comes back in line of the earth again, it forces death to give up its dead to a resurrection. Oh my. Oh, it forces death to give up your dead, come back to life. We're getting ready to go into fall, and we're going to see this whole thing go play again, and everything's going to die, and it's beautiful now. It's going to go down, but next spring, you know what's going to happen? Life is going to come back, and the warmth, the heat from that sun is going to force that life back up. Death can't hold it back anymore. That's exactly what happens with you, brother and sister. What does it? He said, it actually forces death to give it up, a resurrection. For what? A restoration. What does it? The sun coming, that's God's law. God set the earth in law, gravitation law. Everything in nature works according to God's law. The flower served its term. The sea served a term. It died into the earth. And then there is a restoration. If you serve your purpose that God has for you, there is a restoration for you. He said it's laying there dead. Not a thing. We could take one of these lights like this here and turn it. That thing, it would never do any good. There's no way for us to do it. But God has a law. You can go to church all you want. You can live as holy as you want. You can pray 24 hours a day. You can do all you can. But until God's law comes into effect, it won't do you a bit of good. What does it do? You got to get in the presence of the Son. Oh, my. What is the sun? What is the light? It is the word for this day being manifest. And when you will hang around in that atmosphere, and you will be preaching in that atmosphere, it will have the effect. It will force death to give up life. You will be born again whether you like it or not. God has a law that when the sun comes onto the seed, it forces that life out of the seed. Death can't hold it anymore. Brother and sister, that's exactly what happened here. That's what happened in you. Brother and sister, this life, it will come and it'll force that life out of there. Death will have to stand back and that new birth will come and you're going to be a new creature in Christ. It's a forcing. It's a law. Satan's holding. He's doing all he can. He's holding you back. He's getting your mind. He's tearing you up, doing all he can. And yet the word of God says, you can have peace of mind. You can have a sound mind. You can have a strong mind if you would just believe it. And that, and you sit there and you say, I'll accept that. And the next thing you know, you got calm thoughts. And you're at peace. And something that should have been tearing you up 2 months ago and it tore you up, and you're going, oh, I forgot about that. Maybe I should have been worrying about that. I'm not talking fantasy here, folks. This is what I'm living. Yes. I hope you are too. There's things that used to would tear me up, and now I go, I forget about it. And oh yeah, I forgot. And Satan, as soon as I think, he'll bring that memory back. Hey, but what about that? Well, if for the last 2 hours I wasn't worried about it, why would I have to start worrying about it now? Why? You can have peace of mind. This whole world has lost their mind. They have no peace at all, but you can have it. You can go up there and say, the word says that God gave me a sound mind, and right now I don't feel very sound. Give it back. But now don't go and try and do it, because that'll just make you worse off than you were. You ever try and calm your mind down? You ever try and have peace of mind in your own ability? When you're tore up about something, I'm ready to get on Prozac when I do that. It's how you're born again. That's how he does things. The light strikes the seed. It puts it in there. It plants it. Sometimes it's already, that seed is born in. You're born with it. That light hits that. But when you need something else, you need healing or whatever it is, that everything you have need of is in there. And let the preaching of the word, let God's voice speak and hit that and anoint that. and you walk away, and you just find yourself, he's taking you to that. You just start walking in that, and pretty soon it's there and it's yours, and you didn't even know when it happened. And then sometimes he just gives you a straight out flat miracle right in the moment, and it's done. Those are pretty awesome too. Let the light hit the seed. All Satan's doing is got your mind so clouded up with all your doubts and fears that when the word comes, it hits that, and he's got to force its way through. That's why the preaching is so forceful at times. It's trying to force its way through and said, would you stop listening to the devil's thoughts? And it keeps knocking him down, and all of a sudden, one little shaft of light just shoo, and then it's done. Job said, though the skin worms destroy my body, yet in my flesh I'll see God. This is my last quote. Regardless of how little we are, how low we are, how impure we are, how unholy we are, how sick we are, how afflicted we are, that covers pretty much everything. No matter how unholy, how impure, how sick, how afflicted, the law of God's Spirit by His Word makes it obey Him, forces the issue, and says, give it back. You have no excuse. Well, Brother Phil, I'm just struggling with this. You have no excuse. He said, no matter how bad off you are, the law of God by His Spirit and His Word makes Him obey Him and forces it. He says, give it back. Give what back? Give back your original condition. He said, oh, if we could just think for that for a minute. Forces it. Regardless of the condition, no matter what the condition is, the law of God forces the condition to cope with His Word. It's got to. No matter your condition. No matter where you're at. The law of God's Word forces your condition to cope with the Word. You know what happens when sickness comes in the presence of the Lord? It goes away. You know what happens when needs, when the devils, when spirits, anything comes in the presence? They have to cope with the Word. The Word drives them out. Will you walk in faith? See, the problem is sometimes that takes a long time. Abraham had to wait 25 years believing. Noah had to wait 120. We have all these circumstances where people had to wait a long time. And what we do is if it doesn't happen within the first 6 months, we kind of lose faith. And maybe it was just my imagination. Maybe it was just my thought. You know how many times Satan's brought that to me about my hips? That was just your thought. No, it wasn't. I recognize the same voice told me that. The same voice gave me this to preach tonight. Is this just my thought? No, it's not my thought. This is the Word of God. You can take it and be restored. You can doubt and go through a lot more trials and then take it and be restored. So you might as well just take it now. Amen. No matter your condition, no matter how bad off you are, that condition is still subject to the Word of God. And you can be free. Let's stand. Oh, look at that song. Over and over, He molds me and makes me. Into His image, He fashions the clay. However that song goes. He's fashioning the clay. He's taking you and he's molding us into the right shape. And it's through the blood. He just sees you the way He wants, the way you're going to be. Oh, brother and sister, look at yourself that way. Claim that. Walk in that faith, knowing that you have a rapture ahead of you. And Satan says, you got this problem, you got that problem, you got this problem. You say, I only see a body change. That's what I see. I'm looking at the unseen. Well, Brother Phil, when I'd see it, I would start walking. I start believing it. That's called a make-believer. A believer believes it because God promised it, and then God can bring that promise to pass. Amen. Is he good or what? I tell you what. I feel so bad for so many people who don't know what I'm talking about. It's something they see out there like to be grasped. Oh, I sure wish I had that, Brother Phil. I've been there for years. I hear people talk about, and you see, and they're born again, and you see the life, and I want that. I'm trying to get that. I want that. But it's just something that was elusive. I just never could get there. You know what changed that? The preaching of the word. The preaching of the word got my mind right. The preaching the word kept coming and kept hammering and kept humbling me down. And I didn't like this and I didn't like that, but I knew it was true, so I had to sit there and take it anyway. And the thought would keep coming up. Yeah, but you don't have to accept that. I said, yeah, but I want to go to heaven. How many years did Brother Jerry have to preach to finally got to a point where I recognized, let go. And let God. And I thought I had been letting go. All those years I thought, I'm letting you have it, God. I'm letting go. Now I'm going to go out and pray more than I ever prayed before. That's good. Unless you're trying to impress God with it. If I pray enough, he's going to save me. If I live good enough, he's going to save me. If I can do this. Stop. Just take what he promised you and walk in that. Well, he didn't promise you anything except that I should go to church. Well, go to church then. Then he'll do the next thing. You get that part right, he'll get the next thing right. I'm trying to quit. I'm serious. If you're only so easy to preach to, it's your fault. I'm blaming you. Wonderful time. I just appreciate you coming Thursday nights. I know we're tired. I was so excited to come here tonight because I knew that God had such a positive, faith-inducing message. Walking. Brother Nate, come up here so I can quit talking. God bless you, brother and sister. Appreciate you. See you Sunday morning if you can make it. And have a good rest of the week.
Sing that song, Let Go and Let God Have His Way.
Let go. Oh, your song.
thank you, Lord,
for saving me.
Thank you, Lord, for saving me.
He was looking.